Welcome to the FAC 3702 podcast, where I will be giving you feedback on the October 2011 exam. My name is Christelle Smith, and I am one of your lecturers. The purpose of this podcast is to provide you with comments on the general mistakes made in the October 2011 exam, as well as some specific comments on each area of the exam paper. I would suggest that you do the exam question first before you listen to the rest of the podcast. The exam covers all 7 study units, so you should only attempt it once you have studied everything. The question and solution are available in tutorial letter 201, as well as some comments, some of which I will highlight today. When you do the question, do it under exam conditions. Sit in a quiet room with only the question. Do the question in the allocated time. Once the suggested time has passed, stop writing and mark the question to the suggested solution. You can then listen to the rest of the podcast with both your solution and the suggested solution in front of you. I will firstly have a look at some of the general mistakes made in the exam. Students waste a lot of time writing out unnecessary information that is not required or specifically excluded. The question clearly indicates what notes are required and will also specifically state what is excluded. For example, in question 1, accounting policies and comparative information were specifically excluded. Do not spend more time on a question than indicated. It has been proved that you earn the most marks during the first 20 minutes spent on a question. Remember to show all your calculations and to reference it to where it was disclosed. Also show the inputs you have made when using a financial calculator. Remember the dates are extremely important when you do journal entries. Do not make use of abbreviations in your notes or journal entries. Each student have their own abbreviations and it makes it very difficult to mark. Remember, you want to make the markers work as easy as possible as you will definitely benefit from it in the end. I will now look at each of the questions and discuss some of the specific issues that we found. In question 1, part 1, you are required to prepare a statement of comprehensive income for only the discontinued operation. Please take note of the following. The fair value adjustment on investment property must be disclosed as other income. Also, the income tax expense consists of 2 elements, namely current tax and deferred tax. The movement in the deferred tax balance for the year should also have been included in the income tax expense line. Most students did not even do this calculation. Remember, the deferred tax on investment property will be calculated by applying a 14% rate due to the fact that the carrying amount will be recovered through sale. Part 2 of question 1 required that you disclose the property, plant and equipment, investment property and non-current asset held for sales notes. Please take note of the following in the property, plant and equipment note. The classes of property, plant and equipment must each be disclosed in a separate column. In this question, you needed a column for land, buildings and vehicles. Many students forget to do the narrative disclosures. You are required to disclose the date of the valuation, the basis used, by whom it was done and how the amounts were determined. When the company uses the revaluation model, you also need to disclose the carrying amount under the cost model. Most of these are easy marks and you can get it directly from the information that we provide. A revaluation calculation will always occur in the beginning of the financial year. The net replacement values given at the end of the financial year will have to be restated to a value at the beginning of the financial year in order to calculate the revaluation amount. The depreciation must then also be calculated on the most recent revalued amount. This means that you will calculate the depreciation on the carrying amount after the revaluation and not on the original cost price. When depreciation is calculated using the units of production method, depreciation is based on the actual outputs divided by the total expected output. This means that when an asset has not been used, the asset would not have produced any units and therefore the depreciation charge will be null. You will therefore not take the number of months in the financial year into account, as the number of units produced will already take into account that it only produced for part of the year. The disclosure requirements of property, plant and equipment require a reconciliation of the carrying amount at the beginning and end of the period. All movements should be included in the reconciliation. The impairment loss on the vehicle in this question should also have been included. With an impairment, you also have to indicate in which line item in the statement of profit and loss and other comprehensive income the loss was included. In this question, it was included in other expenses. The standard on impairment also requires certain additional disclosures. You need to provide a description of the events leading to the impairment, the amount of the impairment, as well as the basis on which the recoverable amount is determined. With regards to investment property, you also need to give a reconciliation of the carrying amount at the beginning and end of the period, as well as further disclosures with regards to the fair value adjustment, which is similar to the property, plant and equipment requirements discussed earlier. The last note in question 1 that we need to look at is the non-current asset held for sale note. Certain narrative disclosures are required. Most of this will be given to you in the question. You just need to identify which is required and copy that to your answer. This will include a description of the decision to sell, detailing that all the requirements for classification as a disposal group is met, the expected date of completion, as well as the manner of disposal, also need to be disclosed. You also need to disclose the items that form part of the disposal group with a carrying amount of each item as well as the total for the disposal group. Please take note that investment property that has been accounted for using the fair value model in IAS 40 fall outside the scope of IFRS 5. This means that the fair value will still be disclosed at fair value at year end and not at fair value less cost to sell. We will now move on to question 2. Question 2 was divided into 3 parts. Parts 1 and 2 requiring you to do journal entries and part 3 disclosure of the profit before tax and intangible asset notes. I will now have a look at the journal entries in part 2 relating to foreign exchange transactions. A deposit was paid on the acquisition of the films. This will be recognized in a deposit account until the date that the respective asset is recognized. The intangible asset will only be recognized when the asset meets the definition of an intangible asset and when the recognition criteria are met. Please take note that an asset is not recognized when an order is placed. In this case, a non-cancellable order was placed. We therefore have to apply hedge accounting to a firm commitment. Please refer to descriptive accounting for detailed explanations and examples on this. If year-end journals are required, the amortization journal on the purchase asset is also required. And remember, the dates are important. Make sure you understand with hedge accounting which entries should be done on which dates. In part 2, you have to disclose the profit before tax note. This note requires that certain items should be disclosed due to the nature or their size. Foreign exchange gains and losses, as well as losses or gains on derecognition, should therefore be disclosed. Lastly, I'll have a look at the intangible asset note in question 2. The films purchased meet the definition of an intangible asset and should therefore be disclosed in the intangible asset note. Similar to property, plant and equipment, you have to provide a reconciliation between the opening and closing carrying amounts. The license was revoked during the year and should thus form part of your reconciliation. Remember that with intangible assets, we refer to amortization and not depreciation. Terminology is important. You also have to indicate in which line item the amortization is included in the statement of profit or loss and other comprehensive income. In this case, it was included in other income. The standard requires that you disclose the carrying amount and the remaining useful life of an intangible asset. Many students forget this, and this is easy marks that are thrown away. You would have noticed during the discussion that a lot of the comments are about disclosure. I want to stress again how important it is that you know the disclosure requirement for each study unit, as a lot of marks are allocated to this. A lot of the comments that I made today will also be applicable in your next exam, so make sure you understand all these issues. Good luck with the rest of your preparation, and remember to contact any of your lecturers if you have any comments or queries.